Our scripture reading from tonight will come from the book of Isaiah, and I'll be reading from chapter 53, verse 5, and it'll be from the King James. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Keeping your bookmark in Isaiah 53, because we'll be coming back to that. That was the plan of my lesson, was to talk a little bit about that. But Randy beat me to it this morning when he read Isaiah 53 and leading in the Lord's Supper this morning. But the reason I want to just shortly talk about this is I was reading some literature, and it really came across as making a really good point of the whole purpose of the Lord's Supper. And we think about this, and we think reaching forward, it requires, I'm going to go ahead and just put this up there because that's the only slide we have for the night. That's it. So if you were looking for more, well. But normally requires looking ahead. But there's a sense in which it also requires looking back. We will not reach forward to God as lovingly as we should if we don't regularly remember the crucifixion of His Son for our sins. If, as I believe, gratitude for grace is the most powerful motivator, and let me repeat that, the most powerful motivator in the world, then the cross of Christ, and the cross of Christ, the greatest act of God, and on our part, the most undeserved, should move us the most. Flip over to the New Testament in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning around verse 21. Peter writes in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed." Think about that, brethren. He bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, and by His wounds you were healed. Should not that be a motivator for us? Should not that be a motivator for us to want to come and worship God? To come and to sing praises unto His name? To honor His name? To honor His Son? To remember His Son? Think about it. You know, sometimes we might, when it comes to singing, we might think, well, I can't sing like Jenny can, so I'm just not going to sing. Or I can't carry a tune like Randy can, so I'm just not going to sing. What are you saying to Christ who died for your sins and instructs us to sing? When we read in Colossians 3 and in verse 16, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So if you say, I'm just not going to sing because I can't sing like Jenny, what are you saying? Are you not going to teach and admonish them? Basically, that's what you're saying. If you flat out say, I'm not going to sing because I just don't have the voice to carry. I can't carry a tune in the shower, so I'm not going to sing. So what we're saying is that Christ died for your sins, bore the sins of us on the cross, a cruel death. You read what the gospel writers write about that death. Being scourged, crown of thorns, twisted on His head, spit on, slapped, made to carry His own cross. And yet we say, well, I can't sing. But what about me, for example, for somebody like me who has the ability to stand up here and to teach from the pulpit, to bring a lesson? And I might think to myself, well, I can't do it as well as Chris. I can do it, but I'm not as good as he is. Or I should never compare it to Galloway. How am I supposed to really feel confident in that? So do I just give up and say, no more? I have that ability. Not everyone has that ability. I understand that. And that's true. Not everybody has the ability to lead singing. I might not lead singing as well as Randy. But I'm not going to say, well, just because I can't do that, I'm not going to do it. Because by doing that, I'm just telling Christ, you know, I know you died for my sins, but oh well, Lord. And that's sad. It should motivate us to want to do these things. It should motivate us to want to follow Christ and His Word, to worship Him, to honor Him, and to honor His Father. And because He did this for us because of our sins, it should move us to worship Him on the first day of the week. Follow His example. Sing praises unto His name. Whether we sing good or bad or indifferent. Strive to live godly lives after His Word. We could go on and on. But yet as powerful as the cross is to move us in the right direction, we tend to forget about it. It fades from our mind. But that is the way it is with all things that are important to us. If their reality and their importance are not constantly refreshed, they fade. It made me think about as living our lives when we were younger. We were thought about, well, what am I going to do when I graduate high school? That's looking forward. What am I going to do? What am I going to choose as my major? Sarah just finished college. Now she's out there in the working world. Lucky her. What am I going to do as my major? We got two college students that are away from us. Excuse me, Rachel and Katie. What are they thinking about their future? They're looking ahead. They're going to school to prepare for that future. We just finished the national holiday, Thanksgiving. What did we do with our loved ones when we were together? Our brothers and sisters, only like maybe sometimes reminisce of the things that got us in trouble. Or maybe we talk about our friend from school or this or that. Or you remember this time that Dad did this? We remember those things. We have photo albums. Why do we have photo albums? So we can look back and remember the old times. Remember when our children were just little bits. Now they're full grown bits and at college, getting married, having grandchildren. Those are memories that we want to remember. So thinking of that, why not remember or look back constantly to Christ and His death. And so it's no surprise that God's wisdom designed the Lord's Supper to remind us on the first day of every week that He gave His Son to die for us. Acts 20 and verse 7. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. The Apostle Paul writing here, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, He took the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. Let's stop right there in verse 27. So, thinking about that, anytime our passion for God begins to fade, the most important thing to do is return to the cross. To remind us of what He did. And that why it makes it so evident why where the wisdom of God came into play here. When He made us or authorized us to remember His Son every first day of the week. Because it's a reminder to us that He died for us. He died for our sins. Let's remember Him. So in your songbooks, open up to number 159. 159. The title of the song is When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. And it says, When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades while the lingering twilight fades. See that suffering, friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his faith, love triumphant still in death. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full self-sacrifice. So the title of the song, When My Love to Christ Grows Weak. We need to look back at that suffering Savior on the cross and be reminded of what He suffered, what He sacrificed, what God sacrificed in giving Him up. Because of us, undeservingly, He died for us. He died for our sins. It is, of course, the nature of Christ's death that exerts such an emotional force upon us. He died in our place for our sins, as I said. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of His peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Going back to the cross is not an easy thing to do. It's painful for us to think when we read about the suffering and the type of brutality that's involved with the cross. It's a painful thing. A lot of people don't want to read about stuff like that. It's painful to think about. It's painful to see. No sensitive human being could even think of the agony that was involved in death by crucifixion and not be gut-wrenched. But to know that our own sins made it necessary for God's Son to endure such torment makes us want to turn away from the scene in shame and sorrow. But there is no other way for us to be healed of what hurts us. And that is true. We have to turn back to the cross because that is what saves us. The blood of Christ. Now, if you would, since you kept your hopefully you kept your fingers in Isaiah 53, let's turn back there. And I understand and I know it was read this morning, but we're going to read it again, starting at verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and we will divide the booty with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. And yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. I know tonight's lesson wasn't what you would normally hear, but I wanted to just emphasize that maybe we need to think a little more about Christ and what he did for us. We need to be reminded. We need to look back. Look back all the time, not just the first day of the week. We need to be reminded of what he did for us. Not just think, but in our actions. How we conduct ourselves. Are we going to follow his word? Are we going to do what he asks? Sometimes we think, like, well, you know, I don't know if I really feel like going this morning or maybe tonight because I'm a little tired and I got a bad cold. Bad cold compared to a crown of thorns twisted on your head? Or being scourged? Whipped? Slapped? Spit upon? You name it. He went through it. So I hope that tonight's lesson, that maybe we can help us to realize a little bit more how important it is to remember our Lord and Savior and the death that he died on the cross. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, maybe something said in tonight's lesson helped you realize what Christ really did for you. He died for our sins. He died for your sins. His blood is what will redeem us from ours. Why not make that choice tonight? We have the water, the baptistry's ready. Confess your faith in Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized and raised again for the remission of your sins. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God, and maybe you've done some things that you need to make known, and you need to ask for the prayers and the forgiveness of the brethren here, why not make that known now as we stand and sing the invitation song?